Hello, everybody. Jonathan Ruggles here, your host for the Between Two Humidors podcast. Want to introduce you to episode 13 with my guest, Mel. He is the owner of the Fame Wine and Cigar Lounge in Palm Springs, also the entrepreneur founder of M. Bombay Tobacco. We had a great conversation, really all around Palm Springs, his shop, the vibe. We talk about flavor. You'll know what I mean when you get into it. And we have a lot of fun stories. Hope you enjoy this episode. And of course, we hope to see you this August at the first annual Bend, Burn, and Barrel Cigar and Spirits Festival in Bend, Oregon. Check out bendburnandbarrel.com. Get your tickets. But for now, enjoy this really nice conversation with Mel.
All right.
I think we're in.
We're in?
We are in. I'm pouring a little bit more coffee. Oh, man, your backyard's making me jealous, man.
Yeah, the weather is nice right now.
It looks really nice. Looks really nice. So it's interesting we're here. First of all, Mel, thanks for joining the 13th episode of Between Two Humidors. Appreciate it.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's fun.
I like you meeting interesting people.
It is interesting, and I like interesting people. So just to let our viewers know and those listening on the audio, I've got your M-Cuba, and then how do I pronounce the name of it?
M-Cuba is a line, and this blend that we have released, it's known as Mayura.
Mayura.
M-A-Y, Mayura.
Well, I already know it's fantastic because I had one of them yesterday, and then I was so excited to have this one today with coffee. Let me get my lighter. So let me give a little bit of background. So Mel, I'm up here in Bend at the Cigar Chapel, and last fall, winter, I was, you know, letting people know that I was going to do my very first snowbird down in the Coachella Valley. And yeah. You've got a number of fans up here in the chapel, and they're like, oh my God, you got to go to Fame because you got to meet Nika. I'm like, who's Nika?
Yeah, she's more popular, man. She's more popular.
You got a great wife. She is a good woman, sir.
Thank you.
Anyway.
That's what I always say. She got lucky.
Yeah, I think you both did. Yeah, I think you both got lucky. That's fantastic. So it's been really fun getting to know you over these few months. And it's funny because your lounge, Wine and Cigars, which I actually remembered the site. Is it fame-ps.com? Is that what it is?
Fame lounge-ps.com.
Yeah, there we go. Yep. Oh, and I found a picture of you on there too. So now I have your picture. You get a lot more hair.
I'm sorry, man. As I said, I'm not.
Anyway.
We have three devils.
You might need to get a little bit closer to the mic. I'm not quite sure. A little bit.
Closer to the mic.
Yeah, just a little bit.
How did that sound?
Better. Thank you.
Better?
Okay. Yep, that's better. So anyway, your lounge in Palm Springs is legendary. I was doing some homework. You were in Cigar Aficionado, I think, in was it January of 2014? They did an article on you?
They didn't, they have a section where to smoke kind of thing. And I guess they kind of, like, featured the lounge when they reviewed our cigars in 15 or 16, I guess. 15, probably.
Yeah, it was interesting. They had a photo of your lounge in there, and I'm like, ah, the lounge doesn't look like that anymore. You've had a couple iterations of what your lounge looks like.
Yeah. Yeah, what happened was, like, the lounge was like that till COVID. And then, COVID comes, and the indoor smoking in California was not allowed for 2.5 years. And meanwhile, what happened is, like, we sell a lot of premium wines. And the wine took over. And the lounge went away. The city was gracious enough to give us the outdoor patio, a big outdoor patio.
Yeah.
And that happened for, you know, I would say almost 4 years, four and a half, 5 years. And then it was a time that we needed to bring the lounge back. So last summer we reconfigured the things, and we had a situation with the warehouse, which got settled in, and then moved all the wine over there, and so now it is.
So your outside space, you have not had that as long as the shop itself?
So we have like two sections of the patios. One which is like the real just into the store, which is like not a huge patio. I would say it will fit like 10, 12 people.
Yeah.
But the one across the sidewalk, which kind of like extends to the street, the city gave us the permission to do that for, a nominal fee.
Sure.
And so we extended the patio where we can have like 20 more people.
Yes, fantastic.
Yeah, so especially during the season time, you know, like if you omit June, July, August, and part of September, I would say 270 days is perfect weather.
Oh, I mean, it's absolutely gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And as everyone says who's ever been to your lounge, the people watching at Fame with a great cigar and a nice Belgian Trappist beer, which is my favorite, it is the most epic people watching on the planet. And I have traveled the planet.
Yeah, we honestly are very fortunate, Jonathan. The location, and honestly, the city council of Palm Springs have been very generous and gracious to us. Again, you know, like I would not use the word that we are a bit more stricter or something like that, but fortunate that the customers and the patrons that we receive, that we get, are very cigar savvy, tourists, yes, wine savvy, but it's not a bar scene.
No.
So that's where we kind of like, you know, we like that feel where everybody knows everybody. Everybody becomes a friend as soon as they light up their cigar and, you know, like have a couple of drinks. So, you know, we are really fortunate for that.
You're extremely fortunate. I mean, your location, just on the strip, just how you have your lounge set up. And the other thing I like about it, too, is, I mean, you hear so many different languages. French, Spanish. Mm-hmm. I swear I've heard Italian. I mean, it's such an international place.
Well, Palm Springs does attract, you know, the crowd from all over the world. And especially during this, you know, 2022, 2023, you know, like it was very constrained because of the COVID and the post effects of COVID. That, you know, like we used to get very much local, you know, like within California or within US, you know, Western states. But, you know, like even previously before COVID, you know, like Palm Springs has been a world destination.
Yes.
So, you know, like golfing, where it is located, you know, like the Joshua Tree that we have here.
Yeah.
It's 50 miles away. It's one of, you know, like almost 13 to 14 million people visit there every year. It's right in the center of San Diego, LA, and Las Vegas. So, you know, like
that triangle. Okay.
Yeah. So people who are, you know, like especially the foreigners, you know, like they, those are the three places that they would like to get. And, you know, like they'll end up kind of like coming to Palm Springs because they've heard of it or the weather and the whole nine yards. And cigar is, you know, for us, cigar and wine is such a unique combination where it is not normally facilitated from where they come from. I mean, it's impossible to light up a cigar right now anywhere you go, with some exceptions and sure. some sanctuaries, like, you know, like the cigar shops or the cigar lounges or cigar bars, you know, it is impossible. Like, and then you have, God forbid, if you're in a golden state like ours, you know, like our neighbor is going to complain that, oh, there is a smoke blowing. So it is a great place where, you know, everybody's welcomed and everybody feels welcomed, you know, like, and they feel like there is nobody who is going to bother them. So that's a good thing about it.
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. And that is true. That is not just marketing. Your place is very relaxed. I have to believe that you probably have some famous people, whether it be music or arts or theater or movies. I'm sure they come to your shop and they just want to have a cigar. They don't want to be bothered. And I can imagine that it is a sanctuary. Just have a cigar, have a beer, glass of wine, and relax.
Yep. And we want to keep it like that.
Right. Right. Exactly. All right. So, Mel, we got to go back, though. Right. We got to go back. Okay. So, you did not start your career in cigars and wine. You're a pretty smart guy. What was your career before wine and cigars? You knew this was coming.
I'm a dot-com breed. I would like to say that, you know, I migrated to United States in working for the industry, for the dot-com industry. And okay. then in 2001, I was very fortunate that I kind of like was able to retire myself. Cigar was always a good business to be in because I love cigars. It's more of a passion for me. So opened a small shop in Palm Springs in 2001, in July 2001. And the rest is history.
And was that an existing cigar lounge or did you start that from scratch?
So it was from scratch. It was from scratch. So we had, when I opened there is still a cigar store in Palm Springs, known as Tinderbox, and great people. I personally know that franchise in Palm Springs was there when I opened, like 40 years. So,
oh, wow.
And I felt the need that, you know, the area needs something like this as a lounge. That it was a typical Tinderbox, you know, great people. It was not a lounge per se at all. And so I wanted that lounge feel kind of thing. And then we opened it like that. And in later 2006, we added beer and wine to the shop. So.
Yeah, and you just add beer. You added good Belgian beer, which I think I had told you when we were visiting many times in your shop. I used to live in Belgium. So the fact that you actually had Trappist, you know, beer, I was like, oh, my God, I'm in heaven. This is absolutely fantastic.
No, so, yeah, we had to differentiate ourselves from, you know, like it's typical downtown, you know, like lots of bars, lots of sports bars. Beer gardens, but we had to differentiate us, which also went with the notion of cigars. You know, I would not drink nothing against Miller Lite or Coors Light. I would not drink Miller Lite or Coors Light with a fine cigar. It just, the flavors don't match up
No, they
and,
don't.
And as I'm saying, we definitely sell a lot of pilsners or lagers, but when we sit down and if you want to enjoy cigar and a pint of brew, you know, like you got to pair it up with something which is more flavorful.
Sure, you are a flavor guy. The only thing I will say, a caveat, my wife, Melissa, my Mel on my side, is a Coors Light, Miller's Light fan. So, but she doesn't smoke.
You know, like, if she's smoking cigar with Miller Light, you know, like, you will understand what I'm trying to say. It doesn't like, it's like putting honey on French fries, you know.
Yeah.
Again, some people do. Not many right. people.
Not many people. Not many people. Okay, so here's my question for you, cigar related. I'm not interested at what age. I'm not interested in what you smoked. What I'm interested in is, what was the occasion that you smoked your first cigar? Why did you smoke your first cigar?
It was, I guess, in 96, 97. It was, we had a small software project that we finished, and
You were with Microsoft, is that right?
A company that used to work for Microsoft.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
So not Microsoft completely. And we had a cigar as a celebratory thing, you know, as the team leader kind of like brought a box of cigars, you know, like, here you guys go, you know, like, at that time, you know, like, cigar for me was, this is what the actors and the villains smoke in the movies and in Hollywood, you know, like, this is that was the notion. And it was fun event, you know, like, people were more happy that that we accomplished something. And
yes, the team,
it just flowed with that. And, you know, like, we were I honestly tell you that, you know, like, on the third or fourth puff, when I was sitting down, I kind of like there was a hook from the cigar saying that, okay, this is what I enjoy, you know.
Yeah, I like this. Yeah.
Interesting.
So, I mean, cigars definitely kind of are represented in a lot of celebrations, you know, birth of a child, a graduation, a Super Bowl or something, right? Mm-hmm. But when you're in a cigar enthusiast, every day is Super Bowl. Every day is a celebration with a cigar.
7 o'clock in the morning, my first.
Yeah, perfect. Perfect.
Yeah.
So at that time then, when you were the software company, you completed the project, were you the team lead or the team lead bought a box?
The team lead bought a box. No, I was not the team lead.
Got a box. Okay, got it. And this is up in Washington, is that right?
No. This was in Dubai.
Oh my gosh! Wow. Okay, that was a miss. Okay, you were in Dubai. Okay, got it. Yeah. Interesting.
So I was in India, but, you know, like, the project was in Dubai.
So when did you hit the States?
2001.
Okay, 2001. Okay.
No, 2000. Middle of 2000, and I was there implementing a project. Let's not go with the name of the company or something like that.
But I was implementing the project,
and I kind of like was, it was done in 2000 March, 2001 March, was everything was done. And meanwhile, I came from Washington here few times in Indian Wells.
Okay. Oh yeah, nice.
And, you know, like, and then it was January or February or something like that. I came that two or three times. And the last time I came that, you know, like, I just thought of myself that if everything works out, this is a nice place to be. It was sunny. It was not, the pace was the way I like it.
Yes.
And nothing, not thought of cigars or wine or anything like that, but I just wanted to be in an atmosphere. It was dry, that, you know, like, I liked it. Yes. Like that, it was not gloomy like Washington. And so it, July, as I said, July 5th was I opened the shop.
Interesting. Now, were you married to Nika at that time?
No, me and Nika got married in 2003.
Ah, so you were in the States a couple years before you got married to Nika.
Yes. I saw we met in Chicago. We met in Chicago,
My wife's
and
from Chicago. I think she told you that. Yeah.
Melissa is, yeah. So we were engaged for a year and a half, and she was finishing her graduation. And
Okay.
after her graduation, we got married.
You got hitched. Awesome.
We got
So,
I got hitched.
yeah. So, what was that like when you shared that you smoked cigars? Like, was that a part of her world at all? Like, how did that work when you talked
Not
about
at
that?
all. Not at all. Not at all. Nika comes from a very rigid family, like small family, and
Kind of
alcohol
strict.
or
Yeah.
not use the word strict, but like that was not their culture.
Okay.
That was not nothing again, because they knew I owned a cigar shop. The
Well, they did.
parents knew, Nika knew, yeah, Nika knew that I smoked cigars. So everything was kosher at that end, but as long as they felt that they are not, that I'm not implementing the my habits to on a her, onto her. So they were quite
Right.
okay. They accepted me. And and
Yeah,
was Nika started enjoying or started enjoying the cigar, or started coming with me to the factory, I would say late 2009, 10. And then she got just like she was a natural in it, and she dived into it.
really? So did you give her her first cigar?
Yeah,
Yeah, of course.
she would take a puff here and there, but not like I want to have my cigar and just don't disturb me and just F off. I'm smoking my cigar kind of thing that happened after 2010, 11.
Okay, got
Yeah,
it.
she was quick on getting onto it. So,
Yeah. Well, she enjoys them now, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, have you ever been approached to expand and have another fame and another like Indian Wells or Rancho Mirage or La Quinta? Like, have you been approached of like, hey, you should have another location?
Every 6 months.
Really?
Every 6 months. But like again, the permitting thing here in Riverside County, where we are, or the licensing is not they quit doing that since 2017. So, and I never had, because I got involved in the factory in late 2008, so I was not thinking in the terms of expanding on the retail end.
Okay, just on the tobacco end. So let's talk about that. We, I think one of the last times I was in your shop, we actually had a fairly long conversation about how you got into your own line, your own brand, Bombay Tobacco. So let's talk about that. So I guess what's the origin story on that? When were you like, you know, I have an idea for a cigar. You're definitely a flavor guy. Flavor is everything. How did you construct your first cigar? I did some research. I know who rolls your tobacco, but I mean, you have the tobacco, right? You grow it.
Yes. So we have the certain aspects of the cigar. The tobacco itself. The factory owner owns a farm in Ecuador, in
Okay.
Ventana. There where they grow Ecuadorian tobacco, and they have multiple different varietals that they grow.
Okay, yep.
Their main business is selling tobacco, raw tobacco, to different companies and factories.
So they're a wholesaler.
But they have a,
yeah.
And there is a part of tobacco that is used for the cigars rolled in their factory in Costa Rica. And very fortunate for us that the quality, the type of agriculture, the type of growing processes that they use is world class apart. I've been to many farms, and I'm not trying to put anything like, but the amount of detail that goes into growing tobacco is something where, until you experience it, until you come there, see the process, see the amount of work that goes into that, it's an eye opener. So it's in every bit of detail as you are growing a high end grapes for a high end bottle of wine.
Interesting.
So it, you know, like the pH content, the minerality, the salinity of the soil, the how much is exposed to the sun, kind of thing. It's not just planting a seed and forgetting about it for 3 or 4 months or 5 months.
Sure.
So a lot there is lots of big,
yeah.
And we are very fortunate that we have a team that is knowledgeable in that. On top of it, the fermentation process, how we ferment the tobacco in Costa Rica, how we age tobacco, the dry boxing of it, which kind of like brings the flavor. And that was a key thing that kind of like that factory grabbed me, that, you know, okay, this is what I want. This is what I would like to portray in a cigar that is being offered. And that's what we have.
And you've been quite successful in this. So I remember the first day I visited your lounge, you were in the lounge, and I went into the humidor. You walked in with me and you're like, "So what's your flavor?" That was your question. And I said, "Well, you know, I'm kind of a medium full." And you said, No. "What's your flavor? What do you like?" And no one had really asked me that before. I mean, I certainly have had lounge people kind of ask, you know, "Are you mild, medium, or full? You know, what kind of profile are you?" But you were the first to kind of go, "No, give me some flavors that you're thinking about. Is it coffee? Is it cedar? Is, you know, what is that like?" And you really dialed it in. And I thought, okay, this guy is a craftsman. And your Bombay Tobacco certainly is a dialed in craft. In fact, by the way, I need to get some more of those Gordos, by the way. We'll talk after the podcast. You definitely have dialed in the flavor.
Yeah, it's flavors are or flavors or tastes or something like that. It's just because, you know, for 10, 15 years and even till today, you know, like spending time with the customer, spending time with what they are looking for and trying to nail that. And of course, I've failed 150 times, you know, like, okay, oh, this is not your cup of tea. I have definitely gotten it wrong. But it's more of what a customer is looking for. It's subconscious. You know, like it's not as when even if we're talking about a wine, you know, like if somebody likes a red wine, if I ask you what kind of red wine would you like, you not trying to put you down, not saying that you are not a wine drinker, but it's hard to come up with the flavor. Oh, I like raspberries and I like this and I like that, or I like this kind of that kind of. That does not give me anything of the red wine. Every red wine is going to taste like strawberry or raspberry, you know, later on, or blueberries or blackberries.
Sure.
But it's more about what is your palate looking for, you know, like are you having a cup of coffee with cream in it, or do you like espresso, or do you like very hot espresso, or do you like a slightly cool down espresso? All those things gives me a more background of what this person or what this customer would enjoy? And those are the questions that I go with. And 99%, it comes out like, okay, this is what I was looking for.
Yeah. Yeah. I really appreciate kind of that concierge, very much tailoring, directing you to a certain stick. And I remember the first time on that day when I had your inbound by Habano Gordo, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm in. This is good. I think I pretty much have stuck with that ever since.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You bought a couple of sticks.
Oh, yeah. So in terms of your customer base, do you have a couple customers that have been with you since the very beginning?
Yes. Quite a few of them, at least 10, 15 that I know, that have been, with me for the longest time. Yeah.
Oh, really?
And those relationships. Yeah. Oh yeah. Those relationships have become into friendships. We go to their houses. They come to our houses. It's, you know, like as a cigar store, you know, like, where you're sitting, the cigar chapel, you know, it goes the same way. There's a guy that comes in and, you know, like doesn't know anybody. And within 6 months, he's going out with dinner with a group of guys from the cigar store.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a culture. It's a culture.
It's all culture. The cigar culture has been very good to me. I think everybody who I've ever met in and around cigar culture has just been a quality person. You're always going to have an outlier, but most everybody is just genuine people. And even in all the awkward topics too. I mean, whether you're talking about religion, politics, or any other kind of touchy subject, I have found cigar culture people can have a conversation, which I really appreciate, you know, because I like to learn. I like to learn why someone thinks a certain way. And I have found cigar people to be probably, at least in my experience, the less judgmental, they might be conservative or they might be liberal or pick a side, doesn't matter. But you can have a conversation with them and, oh man, I really appreciate that.
Yeah. You're 100% right. 100% right.
Wow. You ever had to kick anybody out of your shop?
I'm sorry, you got cut.
Have you had to ever kick anybody out of your shop or fire a customer?
No, I don't think so. Oh, well, you know, like they're all different personalities. And, you know, like once you have your finger on their pulse, you understand that, okay, this person doesn't like to talk to anybody. He just wants to be left alone. Or this is the guy that likes to talk to anybody. And we politely, you know, like depending on what the crowd is, you know, like if the crowd or the other cigar smokers or other people hanging at the lounge or at the shop, you know, like if they accept him for what this person is, it's okay. And you know, like in case if we have a person that doesn't like to talk and the other guy that likes to talk, they kind of like meet together. A line is drawn by me or the staff saying that, okay, this person doesn't like to be bothered. Let him sit down and smoke his cigar. So, and you smoke your own cigar.
So, especially when it comes to high profile people, I just want to be left alone.
Yes. Yeah. It has happened quite a bit, but you know, once we draw a line, everybody behaves.
Yeah. I want to come back to when I was asking you about expanding Fame as a retail shop, and you said that that's kind of an every 6 month kind of proposition. The license that you have in California, does that give you the ability to expand? Or is that like, for example, the shop that I'm in, the particular license that this shop has, they could expand, right? It's not dedicated to one shop. They could actually expand. I don't know how the state of California is.
Oh, no. We are in Golden State. This is what I have. This is what I'll have. Nothing more, nothing less.
Nothing more, nothing less.
Nothing more, nothing less. It's And again, yeah. it's the state, you know, like, and we follow the rules. And we are fortunate, you know, like, there are a few licenses in the state that have been grandfathered. So we are one of them. And it's all good.
Yeah. Now, you've got some plans, though, to kind of update your lounge inside. Did you want to share what your plans are on the inside? You were talking you might do a couple updates on the inside.
No, we just did a renovation here in August last year, where we have, like, you know, around like 15 to 20 chairs in there, and we
quite large
like that. Well, again, it's smaller compared to many other lounges. So.
Well, no, that's true. That's true. Yeah. But I had thought I'd remembered you were considering kind of expanding your humidor a little bit with some humidor cabinets. Okay.
Yeah. So what it is like right now we have a walk-in humidor, which is not at all big compared to many other cigar shops. The way the cigar humidor is situated, you know, it kind of like is not as practical. So we are thinking of not practical in the sense of a layout. You know, I could definitely have three or four more chairs, which, you know, easily gets filled during summers and winters.
Yes.
So we would like to have the cigar humidor a bit more condensed towards the wall and have a wall display, which kind of like eliminates me getting too much worried about the humidity level in the humidor, which I can control it better. Again, you know, like all the aspects that comes with having a walk-in humidor. I'm pretty sure the gentleman at Cigar Chapel knows what I'm talking about. Those all get eliminated, and you know it's more practical use. More practical use of that.
Yeah, that's good. All right, so I want to shift gears a little bit. When's the last time you went back and saw your family in India?
Oh, wow. 2009 was the last time I visited India. And well, the thing about India is I don't have anybody left there.
Oh.
Except, yeah, all my family's here. My uncles, my aunts, my...
So they all came over.
They're all here. I was the last kid that I moved here in 2000.
I did not know.
Like, it is, yeah, I was the last one to move here. So everybody's here. So there's no,
okay.
And all the friends that I grew up with, you know, they're all over the world, and you know, like quite a few of them are here in the United States. So we get together once every so often.
Yeah, sure. Interesting. Okay, so because when you said that, I'm like, my gosh, you haven't seen your, but I had forgotten. Yeah, that your parents live here, and all of your family worked or is over here. Mm-hmm. So. I assume you like to travel.
Yes. Oh, I love it. Travel in a sense, I would travel for cigar stores. If I'm visiting any part of the country or anywhere in the world, it's more like, okay, I would like to be left alone for 2 or 3 hours in this cigar store.
Yes.
And I'll eat the brains out of the owner. And, you know, sometimes they're like, come on, man, just smoke your cigar. Stop with questions.
I would love
to understand what kind of customers you have. What do they like? What do you sell? Why do you sell this? And, you know, like, why not something else? What makes you to sell a cigar to a customer like this? This particular cigar, is it just because of the marketing of it, or do you enjoy the cigars? Do you offer them the cigar because they have they have this flavor profile or they enjoy this kind of cigar. So it's more of, I want to know more how they, the cigar store is successful in doing or in doing their business. And in so the same time, you meet lots of people that are very interesting. You know, cigar smokers, they have wealth of knowledge.
Yeah, you are a lifelong learner. You're very inquisitive. You like to learn. You ask a lot of questions.
Yes. Oh yes. Oh yes. Oh yes. Oh yes. And I don't hesitate.
I know this.
I'll stand. I'll be like, okay, why are you selling that cigar? You know, let me know. Where did you get this cigar from? How did you let me get that cigar? Do you know the owner? Do you know the blender? Do you know the cigar maker? You know, like that's what I enjoy.
Is there anything, is there any lesson or kind of piece of knowledge that to this day you can remember where you learned it and where were you? Is there something you can remember that you've applied to your business that you learned on a trip from somebody?
No, not that I can remember. No, not like that. Not like that.
It all just kind of goes in the brain. Yeah.
I suck it in, good or bad. Okay. And try to cut myself, but you know, like nothing that comes up. Oh, I did this because of that. You know, like of course, it's more of. I take it to you know, like whenever I'm at a different cigar store or I'm, you know, when I meet somebody, and you know, like it's more fascinating for me to understand the concept of cigar for them and how they portray it. That is where I get stuck. I would not get stuck, but I try to grasp that more. That why is he talking about this cigar like this? So it's more of trying to understand what the end consumer wants and how is this person getting his way across that.
Okay. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Okay. So I ask everybody or most people this, especially you have your own line of cigars. You have your own brand, which is great. However, if you're not smoking your cigar, give me a couple cigar brands that you enjoy that are not yours.
Oh, wow.
And tons why?
Tons of them. Tons of them. I enjoy, you know, your Ashton's, Arturo Fuente, Padron's, few Rockies that I like, his Decade line. I still have a few cigars saved for me. I would say it's 7-8 years ago that I, you know, was able to get a few boxes from them, and I'm still saving it just for me because I like the flavor.
Ah.
Everybody. I mean, like, fantastic cigars are coming out in the market these days. You know,
isn't that the truth? That is the truth.
Yeah, people now. You know, like it's more of people. I would not use the word experimenting, but people are opening up with, oh, I would like that too. And the cigar manufacturers are not.
They're innovating. The
restrained with, oh, this is what people like, or this is what the mass market likes. We are going to focus on that, or we're just going to focus on that. So there has been a lot of different things available in the market, different kinds of blends, different kinds of tobaccos that are available now compared to 2010, 2015.
Okay, so staying with that theme then. Okay, so staying on that theme then, I'm curious in your perspective on Cuban cigars. Like, oh my God, like you haven't had a cigar until you've had a Cuban. What's your opinion your perspective on a Cuban cigar. Are they worth the hype? Are they worth the money? Do we even care? I mean, there's so much variety now, so many just boutique cigar brands that are absolutely fabulous. Do Cubans hold the same value and weight in your mind?
I like the flavor of Cuban tobacco. And I like the flavor of Connecticut shade tobacco. I like the flavor of Connecticut broadleaf tobacco. So it's not about, I would not use the word the Cuban cigars. Again, you know, like it's, if you take it as, this is a Maduro, I smoke a Maduro certain time. This is a natural leaf tobacco, I smoke natural leaf tobacco at certain time. Oh, this is an HVA wrapper. I like to get that feel of the HVA wrapper or a Habano wrapper. In the same context, if you take, oh, this is a Cuban cigar, you're going to enjoy the Cuban cigar. Mm-hmm. Or you're not, you know, oh, this is not my cup of tea. Or this is not my cup of tea. It's, you know, like us as human beings, I say this to we like sweet puddings and we like spicy.
Yes.
Tacos. As long as the pudding is made great or the tacos are made fresh and they're really tasty, you're going to enjoy both. So, but in talking about the typical cigar smoker, I would say majority of them have, this is what I like. And they have a set mind when they walk in the humidor. Oh, this is exactly what I like. And it's hard for me to deviate from here to there. But if they just keep it slightly open, that, you know, like you're not smoking and accept it that they're not smoking their typical cigar, they'll enjoy every cigar.
Yeah, I like that approach. I like that thought. That's a good perspective.
You know, as long as it is well made, a Cuban cigar, non-Cuban cigar, Nicaraguan cigar, Honduran cigar, cigars made with Mexican San Andres wrapper, it's about flavor. And then, you know, so you like certain flavors and you don't like certain flavors. It's that simple.
It is that simple. It is all about the flavor. Well, I'm excited for Bombay Tobacco because you've gotten some broader distribution now, I think. And actually, I think you've now got one of our local Pacific Northwest guys as a rep for you. Is that true?
Yes. Yeah. Ed distributes or represents our line in the northwestern states.
Yes.
And we look forward. We are really excited and look forward with working with him.
Ed is the man. Like, he is Mr. Pacific Northwest when it comes to cigars.
Yeah. Yeah.
He is a quality guy. He is a quality guy. Okay, so it seems natural. You've got your fame cigar and wine bar. You've got your own line of tobacco. This is not a loaded question. I don't know the answer. Do you have your own private label wine?
No. No, actually, the last year we experimented with a private label coming out of Portugal, and we're not happy about it. So, you know, like, we're still digging into it.
Okay, that makes sense. I'm like, because you don't stop, yeah. You just keep going. Okay, so that is under consideration. You're kind of in this process.
Of course, yeah.
Of course you are.
Of course. I mean, like, I would never say no to any project.
That's right. Interesting. Okay.
It doesn't seem to me as work. It is something where, let's try it out. What is the worst thing that could happen?
That's fair. Interesting.
Yeah.
So where's the last country you visited?
I was in the factory a couple of weeks ago. So
in Costa Rica?
Costa Rica a lot. Yeah.
How'd that go?
it's always the work there, you know, like Costa Rica is not, for me, it's not rosy and nice beach cities and beach towns and things like that. It's, for me, it's from a hotel to the factory, back to the hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm quite boring when it comes to tobacco or cigars.
Well, I stick think
to what exactly what I want. Because, you know, like even with the family trip, you know, like I have my set days where I want to go, or set hours that I want to go and go to a cigar store and hang out there for 3-4 hours. Then we'll go for dinner. But first of all, that is going to happen. They go and do the beach thing or go wherever they want to shop and things like that. But that is supposed to be left at a cigar store.
Yes, that is family expectation. We got to let dad.
Yep.
He needs to go to a lounge 2-4 hours, leave him alone, and that's what's going to happen.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Yes, sir.
Interesting. So where's the last time just you and Nika went on a non-cigar specific trip? Or has that even happened?
Non-cigar related trip. We were in North Carolina recently, but I ended up going to a cigar store.
Well, sure.
It was a family thing. It was a family thing. And but still, you know, like I sneaked out myself and spent a couple of hours in a cigar lounge.
I think actually we talked, I think the last time I was at your shop, we talked about that a little bit. And I think you were talking about kind of your heritage in the Indian culture and kind of some ceremonies and some things with food and stuff like that. Here's a question for you I'm curious about. So you've got a son and a daughter, right? I think your daughter is a nurse. Is that right?
Yeah, she is a nurse. They call it like she handles the sterilization processes of the tools and things like that at Eisenhower here.
Oh, yeah, Eisenhower's the big medical. So my question is, with your kids, have you kind of made your Indian heritage a cultural point of distinction for your family? Have you kept some traditions with your kids from your culture?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm like, you know, the household is Indian household. Nika is from the same town that I am from. Both of the kids have their grandparents, their uncles, their aunts, you know, like, so we do get together on social occasions. I would say that flame is still there.
Oh, what a great analogy. I love that. That's fantastic. Well, I tell you, I've never been to India, and I really, really want to go. So, all right, well, let me ask you this question. If I go to India, you're local. Where should I go, and where should I stay away from? Every country's got a place you want to go and a place you want to stay away from. Where should I go? Where should I stay away?
Well, let's stick to major tourist destinations like Bombay or Delhi and things like that. And, but you know, like if you are not accompanied with a local, I would stick to the major cities and the better hotels and the resorts areas.
I'm an adventurer, Mel. I'm an adventurer. Listen, I have been at Shanghai at 2 a.m. I've been in South America at 1 a.m. I don't mind a little adventure.
I would avoid the interior parts.
Really?
Yeah. And, you know, like in Bombay, where we grew up, Delhi, if you go south, Kerala or Chennai or Tamil Nadu, western in Calcutta and things like that, it's a fabulous place. You know, like, I don't think so you should be afraid of, but we don't have, unless you talk about like major metropolitan cities, you know, we don't have, let's go out at a bar, to a bar at 2 o'clock in the morning. We don't have that thing.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, like, so you know, like it's not like Shanghai or any other part of the world where it's still India. You know, that's how I'd rather put it. You know, like, okay, there's a limit to something. And then, of course, you know, like then if you want to invite some trouble, then you experiment with things like this.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Even I won't be. Me as Indian, if I go there and want to party at 3 o'clock at night, I won't be spared.
Really?
Oh, yeah. So it's, again, it's safe, but up to a limit.
Sure, sure. Yeah, as with anywhere. As with anywhere. Yeah. So I know a mutual friend of ours, Manny. When did you meet Manny? Do you remember?
When did I meet Manny? I would say good 10, 15. Say 15 years ago. Good 15 years ago.
Long time.
Yeah, long time. Long time.
He's a good guy. He's our favorite local Spaniard.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yeah, very good hearted person. Yeah, he's a cigar smoker. What, you know, like,
yes,
it's hard to have a cigar smoker who ticks you off.
Right.
There are exceptions, but like, there's always, of course, Manny's. Yeah.
That's excellent. So do you see, because Fame, your Cigar and Wine Lounge is definitely a destination place. Are you in this for the long haul? Do you see this staying in the family? Do you see Fame being an institution in Palm Springs for a very long time? Some of those places have been there since the 50s. Are you looking for Fame to be there a while?
Of course. We have a very long lease. Apart from being it a nonprofit business, we enjoy it. We enjoy it. Me, Nika, and the staff that we have, we enjoy coming to the shop. We enjoy smoking cigars. We enjoy tasting some great wines. We enjoy hanging out with you know, a tourist or a customer or a lifelong customer or a new customer. That's what keeps it going, I would say. You know, like every day we walk in and it's, of course, it, you know, like here comes summer and, you know, like, of course, it's because of the temperature or the snowbirds getting back to where they come from, you know, like it becomes slow. But still, we look forward to, oh, this guy is going to come and show up and we're going to smoke a cigar and we're going to talk about it.
Yeah. Now, so one of the things. Sorry.
No, you go ahead.
So one of the things I want to bring up, because when you think about your Fame Lounge, one of the things that needs to be talked about, that is your sandwich board sign on the sidewalk. And I'm going to put a picture of that sidewalk sign in this podcast. I'll get it in the podcast. But if you describe the sign, say what it says, and then tell me where you got that idea.
So, the lounge part, the beer and wine started. We sold the beer and wine started in 2006. But the pouring, you know, like where we could pour and serve you the beer or wine, started happening in 2009. And we had a really sweet Hispanic girl that worked for us for a long time, like 7-8 years. Sweetheart of a person. And she came up with the. She asked Nika, is it okay if I put, because we had a sandwich board saying, oh, this is, you know, like beer and wine, you know, kind of bottle shop or cigar bar, thing like that. And she said that, is it okay if I can write some, you know, catchy phrase? And we were like, yeah. Try it, you know, like, doesn't, it's not gonna hurt. If the city is gonna complain of if it's too vulgar, you know, we'll take it down and put it back again, put the regular thing back again. And that started it. And So it says our beer is colder than your ex's heart, which is like people. And the other one is daddy daycare or husband daycare. And that thing, I guess, is one of the most popular signs in Palm Springs that people take pictures of, other than Marilyn Monroe.
Yes. So
whoever has stuck to the store. So now we have literally printed the board saying, you know, this is a daddy daycare or a husband daycare. And, you know, the beer is colder than the ex's heart. So it just stuck there. And there we have it. It's there. And even during 120 degree weather, you will see one guy taking a picture of it.
Oh, in the span of an hour of just people watching, enjoying a cigar and having a nice Belgian Trappist beer, I mean, at least five people take a picture of that sandwich board, and everybody talks about it, and everybody just laughs. They absolutely love it. So if you're listening to this, you're not watching the video, because I'm going to put a picture on it, you need to Google the Fame sandwich board, and you'll see it's just, it really, really works.
And you know, like believe it or not, people do take it as a joke, but they remember that.
Yeah, of course.
I would say you'll see people, oh, we came here because of your sign. Oh, I remembered you were a cigar store because of the sign. Normally it'll be like, oh, are you sure you have colder beer than my ex? You know, like, I'll bet you $100. Every day there'll be somebody like that coming just because of the sign. So it's good.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely fantastic. It's such a great sandwich board. Ha, huh, interesting.
Yeah.
So you're going to extend your humidor, going to put some cabinets up there. Your wine, not only do you have your retail, but then you also do wholesale. Is that correct?
No, not alcohol.
Oh, no. Okay. Okay.
Not alcohol. Alcohol is just for the retail part.
Got it. But you do sell a heck of a lot of wine.
Yeah, we're very fortunate. We're very fortunate where we are and the relationships that we have with different distributors and different wineries. We are very fortunate to get the wine that people are looking for.
Yeah. Well, listen, I know you don't do a lot of podcasts, so I want to get information from you. So one of the things that I love about your lounge is, especially for people that are tourists, is the age-old question, okay, Mel, where should I go to dinner? Because there's so many restaurants in the Valley. Oh, my gosh. So many restaurants. So I've got you on the podcast. So many good restaurants. Yeah. I don't need a top three, but if I was into Thai food, Italian, a steak place, Mexican, just in those categories, they don't necessarily have to be the best, whatever the best is. But if you had someone come into your shop and say, Mel, I'm looking for Mexican tonight, where are you going to direct people?
Well, it becomes kind of like a flavor of the month kind of thing, you know, like, and if we as locals like the place, how the place is, the service is good, the quality of the food is good, it's reasonable. For Mexican food, you know, like right now, it's the clandestino that we go a lot, which is like a block and a half from the store, from the shop.
You got me hooked on that. I think I've been there four times.
There you go. See, so as long as we know that, okay, this person is in mood of Italian food or Mexican food or Thai food or something. Like, all the restaurants are really good around where we are.
I took Mel to Pomfrit, the Belgian restaurant.
That's a nice French place. Yeah, it's French-Belgian kind of mix, yeah.
French-Belgian, yep. Yeah. It was delicious. It was so good. Yeah. And then...
That place has been there for quite a long time. Yeah.
Has it really?
Oh, yeah. I guess before me. So at least 25 years.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
So in your opinion, how much has Palm Springs grown over the past two decades?
Consistently growing. You know, like, again, growing in a sense, Palm Springs, it just grows on the one side. You know, like, we have mountains on the back. And right. It has reached its limits now. So it's the eastwards. But I would say Palm Springs as itself, after the 2008-2009 debacle, you know, like, we had a small dip there. But, you know, 2011-2012, it has started, you know, like, it has skyrocketed from that time. Of course, you know, we don't count the 3-4 days of or 3-4 years of the COVID, but it has never looked back.
Interesting. Yeah. All right. So tell me, I need the inside scoop. Don't be political on me. I need the inside scoop. What was going on with the Marilyn Monroe statue relocation? What was that all about? Give us the unvarnished local inside knowledge. Why the hell did they move Marilyn Monroe? Why did they do that?
Well, they moved 150 feet, probably.
For how much money?
I heard it was like a couple of hundred thousand dollars.
To move 150 feet?
I think so, yes. I mean, again, it's a big statue. It's a... And, you know, like the foundation that it needs to be done. Many people go there taking pictures. Oh, yeah. And like a lot of, it's a tourist spot. It's a humongous. But
why'd they move it? Who cares?
I think if I'm not 100% sure, so don't count it as verbatim. But I think the street which leads to the museum. And Marilyn, the statue of Marilyn Monroe, which was situated back, was right in the center of the street, and the museum wanted a clean path of way heading to the museum from the street.
Okay.
And okay, so they had to move it a bit on the side, which is okay. You know, like, everybody keeps everybody happy. That's all. You know, what more can we say?
Well, I heard it was a little bit of kerfuffle, so I was hoping you had something really, you know.
Well, no, I'm not trying to be polite about it, but it is what it is. You know, like, I don't know, you know, if the city took a stance of moving the statue, it must have been a stipulation from the museum. Sure. From the very beginning.
Okay.
It was an overnight thing. So, you know, like, it was city's bad that they put it there. They thought something else, and it didn't work out. And so now we have a new location, I mean, which is not, it's the same location.
It is, really. So how long has that statue been there, though?
There was I honestly do not know the years, but we had Marilyn Monroe statue once. And then it went back to Chicago.
Oh, did not know that.
Yeah. And then the city of Palm Springs, or the organization that handles all these things, they bought the statue and brought it back to Palm Springs. And now we have bought the statue, so it's always going to stay here.
Okay.
So it's like that. It was okay. It was away for a couple of years or something like that.
Okay. So great restaurants. Great retail shops. You got fame. People know Palm Springs for the weather. They know Palm Springs for kind of the era of Sinatra and the Rat Pack and Hollywood going into the desert. But what do people not know? Give us something that people don't necessarily know about Palm Springs that's interesting.
Fame, cigars, and wine. Cigar smokers know it, but not everybody does. There are lots of, like, you know, like, of course, the new restaurants that come and go. But we just, like, in the recent time, the big talk is there is a small theater that's been in existence since last 100 years, probably. They are renovating the whole thing. They are kind of like bringing the very popular group over here is taking over the shows of that thing. So we are really looking forward to bring a lot of small events. It's not a big theater, but a small theater where in the yesteryears they used to play the movies and things like that. So that is coming back. Oh. So we are really excited about that. The city is doing some fabulous work. The Thursday night street fair, you know, like many people that have been there, they know about it. But, you know, like the snowbirds, like yourself, you know, like if they don't know about it, they don't know what Thursday night street fair is. And it is like when it comes to if the weather is nice, it's a fabulous time to be there.
It's epic.
Yeah.
And when I went to the first one, I thought, oh, you know, is this like a once a month thing? Is this certain, you know, periods of time? That thing is every Thursday of the year. Is that right?
Yeah. 51 weeks.
That's incredible. And it's a good street fair. I mean, they shut that road down and all the pop-ups come up and it's, again, the people watching at the street fair, incredible.
Yeah. We enjoy. It's a busy day for us, you know, but, you know, we have fun.
So I want to be careful on this question.
Yes.
Because I want to respect relationship. I want to respect kind of a public person. But I guess I want to phrase this question this way. Of all the famous people that have come to fame, and I'm sure there's been a few, which one or a couple have you found the most interesting? Not good, not bad, not a jerk, not nice, but is there one or two, whether they're Hollywood actors or musicians, that maybe you had a conversation and you were like, wow, that's an interesting person?
Well, let's not use the word, let's not use the names here, because
that's fair.
We've had quite a bit of good share of celebrities,
sure,
Hollywood or musicians and or international artists, they enjoy a good smoke. But the only concern with them is they don't want to be bothered when they are doing this. And fortunately, the way our lounge is set up, we offer that atmosphere for them, and I guess they appreciate that. In the interesting way, you know, everybody has their own thought when they want to smoke a cigar. They just want to be left alone or they want to have a chit chat, you know, and we offer that, you know, like if the person is friendly enough or if he wants to, oh, what's going on in the city, what's new, what's not, which restaurant you go, you know, same questions that you like, you know, some people like to know, you know, like they would like to go there. So we cater to that.
Well, have you had any chit-chatty famous people who don't mind a conversation?
No, quite a few.
You're being tight-lipped. I get it. No worries.
No, because, you know, they like to be like that, you know, like, and then and I guess that is what they feel respected when they come to our show.
Yes. Yeah.
And they're not being bothered. They're not being followed.
Sure.
Overlooked or anything like that. So they enjoy their time.
And I think that's also what makes fame unique in the sense of you got a great outside area. Kind of two parts, one right outside your shop and then one that kind of goes across the sidewalk. But your inside is very, very comfortable. Your chair, like, it's a very nice environment. I can tell you've kind of dialed in the inside with nice chairs, area rugs. I guess as someone, you know, I'm not small. I am not a small guy, right? And I pay attention to things like chairs and tables, right? I don't want to sit on something. I feel like I'm going to break it in 30 seconds. You guys have really honed in a great inside location, and it's kind of private, which I like.
Well, it's not private. I would not use the word private, but it's tucked in. It's tucked in. It's tucked in. Yeah. It's not, we don't use the word private lounge or something. Oh, it's only for.
No, I get it. Yeah.
But it's tucked in where they feel they're away from the crowd and they want to sit down and they want to enjoy a cigar.
I think you're right. Tucked in is the right terminology. It's not private, but it is tucked in. It's just very peaceful. I guess what I'm trying to share with people is there are lounges and there's good humidors, but Fame, to me, it's almost like a museum inside, in the sense of your display cases for the wine. And I'm not just trying to melt your butter. I'm not just trying to be nice. You've displayed your wine in a way that's very museum-like. It's very approachable, but it looks good. So I guess what I'm trying to say is, I think your attention to kind of the space, how you display your wine, how you display your cigars, the inside. And listen, there's a lot of great lounges out there. There's a lot of good wine shops, but I think you've done a really good job. In fact, I was telling somebody yesterday, said I was getting ready for our conversation today. And I said, yeah, I was looking up, different press releases and different articles, trying to learn more. And I'm like, I think Cigar Aficionado, they need to come back to Fame. They need to do a redo on your shop. So anyway, I'm gonna tag Cigar Aficionado and say, you need to come back to Fame and really highlight what Fame is in the Palm Springs area.
Well, thank you. That'll mean a lot.
Well, I think it's true. It was a long time ago. Yeah, 2014, 2015, something like that. I think they need to come back and revisit it, because it truly is one of those destination places. And you and Nika have done a good job. You talked about your staff. I won't name names, but your staff is great. Although I do have one thing that I was not prepared for. Okay. And I had to learn the fame. I almost don't want to talk about it, but I am going to talk about it. So when you buy a cigar at Fame, most of the time it's like, whether it's Nika or yourself, you take the cigar and you're like, okay, well, go outside, find a seat, and we'll bring you the cigar. And I'm like, well, why don't I just take my cigar? Like, why do you have to keep my cigar? I want to take my cigar. But no. There is a Fame way to smoke a cigar.
Okay.
No, come on. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Okay. Go ahead. You go ahead.
It's a very tailored experience on the cigar. And at first, in fact, I won't even describe what it is, because people have to experience it themselves. I have never experienced the cigar purchase and then lighting up a cigar. There's definitely a Fame way of doing it. I'm not going to describe it, because people have to learn it on their own.
I hope it is not offensive. It's rather than the notion of having a lounge when we opened the cigar, when we opened the shop, we wanted to give that experience where we appreciate, we respect, we acknowledge you purchasing a cigar or a box of cigars.
Yes.
And sharing your thoughts or enjoying it here in our small establishment. So we want to show our gratitude like that.
Okay, well, that's perfect. So I will not describe it. I think you said that very well, and it's very noticeable. And I truly have come to enjoy what that experience is like. Because really, front to back, it's not just buying a cigar. It's not just getting a glass of wine. it is an experience, and you guys have really cultivated something that is very unique. Again, that's why we need to get Cigar Aficionado back out there to do a piece.
Good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's end on this topic. So you were at PCA in New Orleans this year. I was at PCA. You and Nika looked fabulous. You were doing your thing. What was your big takeaway this year at PCA? What'd you learn? What was your takeaway? How's the cigar industry doing?
Phenomenal. A lot better than what we... So we had to take a break for 3-4 years. My health reason, and we were kind of like, I restrained myself on wholesaling or selling our brand of cigars to many locations. We have few locations that we have supported from day one, and so there were very limited stores. As I said, we are jumping back, so we wanted to see the waters, what's going on in the industry. And the amount of small, big cigar brands that have come in was, I was in an awe. I was like, wow, people are coming out with these different factories, these different cigars, these, you know, like, it was really an eye opener for us. Like, okay, then, you know, like, for us to resituate our brand, it's not going to be like a snap of a finger. And that was the main idea of us to go to the show, was like to see what's happening in the industry, and you know, like how people are behaving, the retailers, the different selling aspect, the different marketing thing, and it was a really, I was in an awe where I was like, we gotta step it up a notch.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So the industry is alive and well from your perspective.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Definitely. But, you know, like, of course, there is an app, you know, like the cigar imports have increased. You can see those numbers from Cigar Insider, you know, like the number of cigars being imported in our country has gone up. So the culture is still there, you know, and of course you see the lesser and lesser cigar lounges or cigar stores being opened in the country, but it's all because of the government policies and the city policies and things like that. But the ones that are there are thriving.
Yeah, good.
Once the retailers understand that, you know, this is a unique thing that we are offering, and they take pride and they understand the business. That's what keeps this industry going.
Yeah. And I'd say PCA is doing a pretty good job. I think.
Oh, yes. You are 100%.
Yeah. I think they're doing a good job. I think they're working with the government in the way that's strategic. I think they're working with retailers quite well. And I would also agree. I mean, our local shop here at the Cigar Chapel, bursting at the seams. They've got a great staff. John runs a great shop, great humidor. This area is also kind of a destination area, which, by the way, I'm only going to say this once.
No, you should say twice.
Well, Manny's going to back me up on this, because he's been saying, you got to come to Bend for how many years now?
Yeah, I would say good 10, 15 years from the day he met. No, we're definitely going to try. July, August is the time when we get our cigar shipment. We can do it like every 3 times a year.
Okay.
And July, August is the time that we receive it. And the
excellent. Well, you know, I know a great reason to come to Bend in late August. So, you know,
we're looking forward.
All right, perfect. There's my one pitch for Bend Bourbon & Barrel. Of course, we're going to do more promos on that, but we'd love to host you and Nika for that. Of course, you know that invitation is there. Not going to hassle you, but you should really come. It's going to be great. And you would love Bend. Our food scene is not Palm Springs, but we do have a really good food scene. And we've got a couple new Indian places that have opened up. And one, I'm going to give a shout out. to Spiceland, which a buddy of mine is running the bar, but the Indian food is, hey, listen, you know my wife. She is picky.
Yeah, yeah.
I see it in the most loving way, but her palate is very mature. She loved it. She said it was some of the best Indian food she's had. So we got great Indian food scene here in Bend, Oregon, which is bizarre in and of itself, but we'll take it.
Mm-hmm. It's always good. It's always good.
Yeah. Mel, good. Great to see you. Thank you so much for taking some time today. Looks like you're going to have another great day in Palm Springs. And I will see you probably, I'll see you in a couple months, both up here and down there.
Definitely. Thank you. Thank you for having me here. And thank you all the viewers to join in and chime in for that.
Excellent. Sounds good. Thank you.